St. John unfolds the great mystery of the Incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. I wonder if you have ever considered how all these different passages of Scripture hang together and link into one another. If that's you, I'm now going to explain. Our story begins with a moment of glory, but it is only a moment. In the cool of early evening, God went walking in the garden. It's a tantalizing picture of a time we have never known. A time of perfect communion with the God who made us. A time of freedom, beauty, and glory. God went walking in the garden seeking his people. But they were nowhere to be found. They were hiding, naked, ashamed, and afraid. For the one thing they had been warned of, the one fruit they had been told not to eat, had proven too great a temptation. They had eaten. And in that moment of choosing their will over God's, they chose exile over communion. They chose to take rather than receive. They chose instant gratification over eternal glory. And they chose for all of us. From the moment he set foot in the garden that day, God sensed their shame. He smelt their fear. He was pained by their rebellion. And he hung his head in sadness, for the necessary consequence of their actions was exile, death, and the labor of field and child. Out of the dust he had made them, filling them with the breath of his very own mouth. Now to dust they would return. Their exile is ours, and their sin we have made our own. Shame and sadness, fear and death, these are the ways of the world when we hide from our Creator. What begins in glory descends swiftly into tragedy, and we are left to wonder, what can God do? When God finally spoke, it was not a word of condemnation or anger. It was a word of promise and hope spoken to a man living in the land of exile and walking in the way of sin. Abraham was a child of Ur, a city of idols. And yet God came to him. He came and called, and Abraham answered. Unlike his father, Adam, he did not hide in shame. He listened and obeyed. And God made a promise to Abraham. From you will come blessing. blessings for your people and blessings for the world. You will father a great nation, and through that nation, all nations will find their hope in me. Abraham believed and obeyed. He fathered Isaac. Isaac fathered Jacob, and Jacob fathered 12 men who would become 12 tribes, a people of prophets and kings carrying God's blessing to a world shrouded in darkness. And yet these people, God's people, did not follow Abraham's faith. They faltered and they fell. Moments of faithful obedience were followed by centuries of arrogance and idolatry. The people could not keep their promises, but God was keeping his. The prophet spoke, and in the heart of darkness there glimmered a distant light. A child would be born. A son of David would sit on the throne. He would be the peace bringer, counselor of wonders, almighty God. Could it be that once again God would walk his garden path and call his people home? The words of the prophets were glimmers of hope in the gathered darkness. Like streaks of lightning across a nighttime sky, they illuminated the landscape for a glorious moment before all went black again. When they spoke God's word, they spoke of judgment, but also grace and above all hope. Then there was silence, 400 years without a prophet, 4 centuries without a godly king, generations who wondered if God would ever walk with his people again. And then at last, out of the silence, he spoke. The angel of the Lord came down from on high to greet a woman, barely more than a child. "Greetings," he said, "the Lord is with you, favored one." In the pause that followed, did the angel wonder what she might say? Did the angel doubt her willingness or her faith? How could she possibly be the bearer of all God's promises? How could she ever carry the weight of the world's deep longings in her womb? Like Abraham on the height of Mount Moriah, so Mary in the stillness of her room received the promise of God. "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." In faith she received, and by faith she obeyed. Overpowered by the Spirit of God, she received the living word. The Son of David was coming to claim his throne. The heir of Abraham was coming to receive his blessing. The child for whom a whole nation had longed and prayed was coming, not to conquer, but through his death and resurrection to serve and to save. Now, Augustus was the greatest of all the Caesars. At a single word from his lips, the peoples of the empire could be thrown into chaos. One such word gave birth to such a chaos, and caught up in the streaming tide of misplaced people were Joseph, Mary, and the baby she carried. Caesar's command sent them out, but God's promise carried them safely. And in a makeshift nursery, the child of promise was finally born. Here was Abraham's distant star. Here was Jesse's branch. Here was David's son. In the darkness of the fields, the sky erupted with the cries of glory from an army of angels. They were sent to shepherds, the poor and meek, to tell them that the king had been born, their savior had come. And in the great black orb of space, a single star stood sentinel that night. Those who watched such things and knew their meaning set out with gifts to find the king of whom the stars had spoken. Abraham's promise was fulfilled. His descendants had their king and received their blessing. So too did the world. Those wise men from the east were the first of us, not born of Abraham, to worship the one true king who reigns over all the world. We follow them to Bethlehem, and there we find our joy. In that child born in weakness came all the power of God. The might of Caesar, so far reaching, so extraordinary, was made pathetic at the sound of his first cry. God was back among his people, soon to walk with them again. The king has come. The promises have been kept. The curse is lifted. The world is blessed. But how will we respond? The invitation is clear. Receive this king as savior and trust in him as Lord. For Jesus is love come down. The Son of the Father comes and becomes our brother to be with us in the darkness, to take the darkness on himself on the cross, to take that disconnection on himself, even to take that death that we all deserve for turning from God. He took that on himself on the cross, plunged it down into the hell that it deserves. And he rose again to light and life and love, and he says, "You in the darkness, do you want my light? You in death, do you want my life? You in disconnection, do you want my love?" And anyone who simply says yes to Jesus, we get Jesus in our life. We get his Father as our Father. We get his Spirit as our Spirit. We get his future as our future. It's free and it's forever. So do you want Jesus? Each of us is like that innkeeper who has to decide whether they have room for Jesus. Now, we all have questions, and there's no better way to find answers than to come on an Alpha course. Our next one starts in January, no charge, no pressure, no follow-up. And as you leave, I hope you might be given a little invitation card. Do come. You have nothing to lose and all to gain, I promise. May God bless you this Christmastide.